The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life. Retirement specialists getting you ready for your second life.
Now, most people, when they have three kids under five, they think, my life is stressed, my life is busy, I don't have time to think, it's a constant whirlwind, I can barely make it to the shops. Not if you are Geraldine Osborne. Geraldine Osborne looked at her situation and said, do you know what I should do? I should ship myself and all of these children to the high Arctic and live so far north that you can't even use compasses because you are buried up in the absolute wilds where animals freeze to the ice and where you find yourself eating polar bears. That's if you're lucky. Otherwise, you have to eat seals. And apparently, you can't eat the flipper of a seal for very gruesome reasons. We will come back to that. She has written a memoir about this called Somewhere Cold, A Year Living in the High Arctic. Geraldine, good morning.
Good morning, Anton.
Geraldine, what possessed you?
What possessed me? Well, you know, it was an opportunity to have an experience which is totally out of the ordinary and one that is challenging mentally and physically. And, you know, I was up for it. I was, of course, very young then, and I really wanted to experience what it would be like to live in a place that's kind of like living on another planet. And I must say, for me, it would be... For my husband, Danny, he had been there before. He had first traveled to the Arctic in 1977. He's an artist, and he went there to paint. And then he also went again in 1981 as part of the Irish Arctic expedition. So he wasn't a stranger to that place.
Now, you see, many people might say, well, I can see the attraction of going up on an expedition. But packing up kids that small and deciding that you will parent in the Arctic. Give us a sense of the environment, first of all. For whereabouts was it and what was it like weather-wise?
Yeah, so it's the farthest northernmost community in Canada, in the Arctic in Canada, where it's a tiny community and it's at 76 degrees north. So it means that in the winter you have 3 months of complete darkness. And then, of course, in summer, spring, summer, you have 24-hour daylight. So time is very flexible, and the temperatures can be brutal in the winter. You know, it gets down to minus 40, and then with wind chill, it can be minus 50. And then indoors, it's like they heat their houses really warm. It's 20 degrees, so there's a 70-degree difference between the inside and the outside. It's quite extreme.
Give us a sense of what exposure in minus 50 can do to you.
Exposure minus 50. Well, I can tell you, it can turn you to a block of ice pretty fast. Yeah, it's of course, you cover yourself up in layers, lots and lots of layers. And in fact, when we went out on the sea ice, because we had a dog team and traveled with the dog team, of course, not in the winter. I was spring and summer, we brought the kids out of the dog team. But we had caribou skin clothing, which is the warmest, and lots of layers underneath. But your face is exposed. So, you know, when it's really cold, you have to wear scarves and things around your mouth. You're like, you know, a Michelin man with just your eyes poking out to see. Yeah, it's pretty difficult, all right. But I didn't bring the children out at minus 50. I wouldn't do that. I didn't, you know, we traveled with them when in the spring and summer when the temperatures were, I guess, well, minus 20, minus 30, which isn't, you know, as bad as it sounds.
I'm willing to bet it is, Geraldine.
Yeah.
Now, what ages were the kids at this point?
Yeah, well, we went out first at the end of 89 and there were 5, 2 and 1. So the 2-year-old and the 1-year-old don't remember anything about it, but the 5-year-old, my 5-year-old, eldest girl Tempe does remember little bits, but not much. But you know, the thing too is that they also there were children in the community, a lot of young kids, and so that made it you know, they just settled right in. It all seemed very ordinary for them. They never really complained about being cold or uncomfortable because they were just doing what all the other kids were doing.
Now, what about the food? Because there are a lot of parents who will say, my child is a picky eater and they will only eat chicken goujons or they will only eat pizza or whatever it might be. What was the type of diet that these kids were eating?
Yeah, so There was a little shop there where you could buy tinned food and dried food, but the best food is the food the Inuit hunt themselves. It's basically fresh seal meat, caribou or reindeer. Also, they eat small whales and muskox, very exotic foods, and fish in the spring and summer. They fish fish for Arctic char through a hole in the ice.
For those unfamiliar with the flavour, can you describe what seal is like and how best to cook it?
Yeah, seal was my least favourite, unfortunately, because it's the kind of the staple of the Inuit diet. They get seal meat throughout winter and summer all the time. It's really the staple. And I found it very difficult to... It's very strongly fishy, very bloody, and has a texture of beef. It tastes like it's full of iron, and it is very good for you, really good for you. But yeah, I had a problem trying to disguise the flavour of seal meat.
Yeah, you have a passage in the book where you describe effectively trying curry, trying it with tomato sauce, and nothing working.
Nothing was working. No. Fortunately, the liver was very nice, and it's not a food something I'd eat here that much. But you know, you have to eat nutritious food when you need it. And we used to eat a lot of seal liver.
Did you cook it, or was it raw?
I cooked it. Yeah. Now, Inuit would eat it raw, and traditionally, of course, that's the very best food for them because they don't have any fruit or vegetables growing there. So raw meat provides all the nutrients, the vitamin C and everything. It's a complete diet. So and they love it that way. That's how they grew up. But it definitely is an acquired taste.
So what then about travel? Because you talk about making trips with the dog teams. What's it like running a dog team?
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's slower, obviously, than skidoos. Most people, when we arrived there, in fact, the Inuit and the community were fascinated because we came with dogs. And, you know, they had started using snowmobiles, skidoos, they call them. There was only one person with a dog team. So Danny had to spend the winter training these dogs because normally one would train a dog team from puppyhood. They'd know each other, but these dogs didn't know each other. And to try and get them to work as a team was a big job. So he spent a lot of time training them. And they were fine by the time spring came when we'd be using them. They were fantastic. They worked really well. But it was always very exciting traveling with dog team.
These are not golden retrievers. These are not easy dogs to train, just reading between your lines.
No, they're not. No, they are... They are working dogs, they're not pets, and they do have predatory instincts. So I was very careful to make sure the children go near them with their furry clothes. They might look like a very tasty dinner.
Is what I mean by the challenges that parents normally face with young kids. It's very rare that you have to consider whether or not your dogs are going to consume your children because they look like a small seal.
That's right.
So at the end of all of this, you return back to, is it Cork? Is that where you're based?
Yes, I live on the Bear Peninsula in Cork, lovely part of Ireland.
Does life seem dull and unchallenging when it's not minus 50 and you're trying to shoot polar bear?
I don't know about being dull and unchallenging, but I'll tell you, when I did come back, it was funny, you know, because I'm living right over the sea on the Bear Peninsula, looking across at the Sheep's Head and the Mizzen. And I'd often imagine, you know, oh, if that sea would only freeze up, you know, we could hitch up our dogs and just take off and we'd be over, you know, on Sheep's Head in no time instead of having to go by road the long way. But anyway, it's a nice dream.
You mentioned that the three kids, have they followed in your footsteps? Are they adventurers? Have they a desire to live in the Arctic?
Well, actually, I did go back in 2001. I worked there in not as far north now, not up in Greece Fjord, but further down in Nunavut in Iqaluit. I worked there for 12 years and my kids went to high school there. So they're well familiar with the place.
And what's the draw of an environment like that? Because whenever you look at it, I mean, it is obviously stunning to look at. But it is so difficult, I imagine, to just do the day-to-day. What is it that would draw you both back and back for that duration?
Well, I suppose in lots of ways it's like a frontier land. You know, you can, there's a lot of freedom there. And even in the city of Iqaluit, you know, if you have a skidoo and a sled, you can just take off with your tent and go anywhere. You know, there's just amazing places to explore. And these places are so untouched and so different, so out of this world, you know, so silent. Just, yeah, so incredibly different to anywhere here that it's very satisfying. And it's also, you know, I guess in many ways, and it's what attracted Danny to the Arctic in the first place, is that by looking at the landscape in Beara, a lot of the marks of glaciation are still visible in the landscape, you know, the erratics and the scratches on the rocks. And that's what drew him first to go there. And so it's like traveling back in time. You're traveling back to the Ice Age, maybe what Ireland was like during the Ice Age.
I've got a message just to check one thing with you, which is somebody saying Flipper is on lots of menus in Newfoundland. So
I know. Well, we were told not to feed the flippers to the dogs because it would be very painful for them when they're shitting their seal meat out. But so the flippers, I was in Newfoundland and I avoided the flipper pie.
Oh, so it's possible you can, as long as it has been declawed, a human can eat a flipper, but you don't provide an entire flipper to the
dog. Yeah, that's it, I guess.
Lesson one, don't feed kids to dog. Lesson two, don't feed flipper to dog. It's good to know these things, Geraldine. Geraldine,
yeah, that's right.
Thank you very much for your time this morning. The book, if you want to have a read, is Somewhere Cold, A Year Living in the High Arctic. And Geraldine is going to be doing a Dublin book launch, in chapters on Parnell Street on November 13th. And that is at 6:30 p.m.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life. Retirement specialists getting you ready for your second life.